Welcome to Shaped by Scripture. This month, we'll continue walking together through Scripture, helping you memorize it, understand it, and live it out in practical faith-shaping ways. Here's what we believe. When God's Word takes root, it bears fruit. It reshapes how we think, reorients how we live, and renews how we love. Scripture doesn't just change moments, it changes lives. So wherever you are today, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. Open your heart to what God wants to say. And let's continue this journey together, allowing our lives to be shaped by Scripture.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Shaped by Scripture podcast. My name is Scott Thomas, privileged to serve here at Lone Oak First Baptist Church. And today we have a bonus episode that I am excited about. This is one of those episodes that fits within the framework of parenting and the household. But what we realized, and one of the reasons that we want to have these bonus episodes, is not every family looks like the typical, ideal, perfect family in the sense of mom and dad meet when they're young, they're dating all the way through high school, into college, they graduate, they have 2.5 children, they live in the perfect home for their whole life, and they never have issues. The reality is this is not necessarily anyone's story. And today what we're talking about is we're talking about parenting in the blended home. So what does it look like? Because there is still extraordinary value in parenting, and there is redemptive qualities in parenting within a blended family. And so today what I want to do is I want to introduce you in just a moment to my special guest, but I want to give us as a church the opportunity to recognize that there's a large demographic of folks that either grew up in a blended family or are currently living within a blended family household. And it's important that we see the value of the home and the responsibility of godly parenting doesn't stop just because it's a blended family, but it continues to have extraordinary value. And so many of our families, they may not fit the simple mold, but today we're talking honestly about what it looks like to pursue Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 in a blended family. So let me begin by introducing you to Kevin and Jess Hausman. They are members of Lone Oak First Baptist Church. They're business people. They are currently sitting across the table from me. And Kevin is, man, is he dressed for Western night? This guy is, he's something else. He is what I would call a modern day cowboy. But, you know, I don't know if he likes that title, but that's what I think of him like. Kevin, Jess, thanks for joining me today.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
You guys are in a blended family, but tell me a little bit. Tell me a little bit about yourselves. You are faithful members here at Lone Oak. You serve. Y'all are actually in one of our newest life groups here at the church, and I think that's going well from what I hear.
It's great.
It's going great.
Yes.
Wonderful. All right. Now, we're not talking about perfection today. We're talking about obedience. Before we get into the scripture, Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7, which is our verse for this week, and before we get into talking about some of the nuances, some of the successes, wins, challenges, obstacles of parenting in a blended home, why don't you guys tell us a little bit about who you are, how y'all met, and what your blended family looks like when it started, and also today?
Sure. Jess, you want to lead?
Well, I'll tell how we met. We met in real estate, of course, what we both currently do for a living. But we dated on and off for almost 3 years. Our story's kind of interesting. We never really could figure out how to bring our family together. So it was an off and on dating for 3 years.
All right. Just to clarify, you were married and had children before.
I was married and had 3 children before.
Divorced.
Divorced.
Not widowed.
Not widowed.
Okay. Kevin?
Married and had 2 kids.
2 kids.
And a boy and a girl. And then, and of course, like she said, we started whenever we both were divorced and started trying to figure this thing out as we moved along. And it was something that you just move into and you go, how does this mesh? Does this work?
How bringing the families works?
We knew we loved each other. We knew that we wanted to be together, but blending my 3 boys, Kevin's daughter and son, we just couldn't figure out how that was going to work.
Yeah. So approximately how old were the kids at that time?
11 or 9 to 15. There's all, about 6 years difference.
All five of them?
All five of them. So five teenagers, preteen and teenagers. Yeah.
Well, that's not a complicated season of life at all.
Yeah.
So y'all are trying to deal with your emotions and your relationship while you're trying to deal with a bunch of kids going through puberty.
Probably the biggest blessing that we had as a dating couple was our five kids got, they were just instantaneously close.
Okay.
So that was the easiest part of our blending. The harder part was for Kevin and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe just because we were both planners, or I'm a planner. I don't know that I would consider Kevin a planner. He's more of that cowboy type that jumps on the horse and sees if he's going to fall off. But
she just said that.
We wanted a plan. Of course, you go into it thinking we've got to do this right. We can't do it wrong again. You know, it meant a lot to both of us. And so it was on and off for 3 years before we actually broke up, and I moved across the country for 6 months.
Where did you go?
I went to Oklahoma.
Huh.
Took a job out there to kind of reset. Me and the boys went out, and Kevin.
Nothing says I love you like getting away from them.
Yeah, and we he actually moved me out there. We were friends and going to remain friends, and he said I'll take you out there and get you set up, and we wished each other well. And about 2 days into our friendship, he said I can't talk to you anymore. This is too hard, and so we didn't talk for 6 months. Both went on about our lives, and then 6 months later, on Brooke's birthday, actually Kevin's daughter, they called and said, "We got to do something different. This isn't working out for any of us." And so, you know, I was unhappy. Kevin was unhappy. The kids saw it. They wanted us to be together, and really, Brooke pushed us to make that final decision that we just had to jump in with both feet if that's what we were going to do. And so, we got married 7 days later.
Well, that started off beautiful, went tragic, and then ended well.
Yeah.
But what a sad story.
It was hard. It was hard.
It was hard. Ugh. You moved her out there? You were trying to be a man, weren't you?
It wasn't fun.
No.
It wasn't fun. You know, it was one of those things that, like she said, you know, we tried it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And learning how to mesh everything was not easy. It was not easy for us.
Tell me this. What year was that?
2012.
Okay, tell me this. Did you all seek guidance from anybody? Was anybody speaking into your lives about how you bring a blended family together in a good way?
I'm glad you asked that question because I wanted to.
You wanted to seek guidance?
I wanted to seek guidance, but I never felt like I could find that person that could relate to what we were facing.
Yeah.
I never felt like that was available to me at that time. Now, when I say I wanted to, was I doing all I could? Probably not. I was probably filled with a little frustration trying to figure it out on my own, but more than anything, I was just going, there's nobody here in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just kind of where I just, you know, that's where the frustration set in. And you know what frustration does. It separates you from a lot of logical thinking.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a level of embarrassment when you're divorced. You know, you don't want to go to other Christian members of the church or anyone and say, hey, I did this wrong. How do I do it right? Or what does this look? Or even, you know, the stigmatism sometimes with blended families, you don't want to go to another blended family and say, how are you doing this? You know, because you don't necessarily want to stand out as a blended family. You want to look like a normal family. You want to, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
That's well said.
Yeah.
You want to just, you don't want any more attention than you need.
Right.
No.
Well, on that, let me just go ahead and say thank you for having this conversation. Like I told you guys when I approached you, we want to do a good job as a church recognizing that not everyone has the simple model of a family home. Right. And there are increasingly large numbers of blended families, and we want to make sure that we minister well to them. And so I'm sorry that you guys didn't maybe have what you wished you had, but I want to thank you in advance of this conversation for being what so many families will need, which is, I mean, quite honestly, just being being assured that they're not alone, being sure that it's okay, that it's complicated, and knowing, hey, we may not have always done it well, but right now you got a place that you can go to get some guidance, maybe just get some affirmation that you're not really losing your mind.
And, you know, and I want to back up, you know, and say this, you know, we were, even when we were dating, you know, we were going to church, we were coming to church, we weren't involved, but we were going through the motions of it.
Yeah.
And that's what sticks out to me today versus then. Then we were trying to do what we felt like we should do, but we weren't applying it.
Okay. Expand on that. What do you mean? You were doing what you felt like
we were coming and going out those doors. We were not hearing the messages because our minds were clouded and our hearts were clouded with other things.
Okay.
And then that stands out to me so many times when I come in these doors that, you know, I would go in trying to feel like I'm making the right steps. But if my heart wasn't receptive to it, you know, I'm not saying it went void.
Yeah.
But I am saying that there's a point where I had to take responsibility for it and say, this is a purpose. And my purpose is to draw closer to him and see where he wants me to be in this situation right now. But yet, at the same time, if all I'm doing is letting all these other voices, all these other things in my head cloud it out,
yeah,
you know, it comes back to me.
We were showing up. We were, even the 3 years we were dating, we were both sitting in the pews with our kids every Sunday. If they weren't with us, they were with our exes. And so we were, our children were raised in church. They were there. We were there. We were reading scripture. But I think when you're drowning in trying to figure out your new life and different things, it's hard to apply and drown at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you all think about when you were coming together as a couple, y'all went through the years of trying to figure out how do we make this family blend? You know,
right.
You want it to be a meshing of the families, not like we just tossed everybody in a blender and we all got torn up in the process. Did you all think about or have any awareness that when you come together, you're creating like a new spiritual unit? You know, we're in this Bible verse, Deuteronomy 6:6-7, and it gives instructions that we first, and y'all are already talking about this, we first have to be rooted in the Word, shaped by the Word, and then we have a responsibility of raising up our children. So when y'all were starting, did you think anything beyond just practically, we got to figure out how to get these family pieces together? Did you think about it from a spiritual standpoint?
I always knew that was the goal.
Okay.
That's where it had to be.
I think if you had asked us in the time, we would have said yes. If you ask us now, looking back, as much as we've learned over the last, 14 years, we would say definitely not. You know what I mean? I think you are.
Yeah.
And you really have the
intentions. That was our mindset. Yeah.
You have the intentions for it. But you just get, I'm going to say, for lack of better words, you get lazy in the fight and lazy in the battle and lazy in the stuff, and you just start giving in to things.
Okay.
And you start saying, you know, I'm going to be settled with or satisfied with just where I am instead of going on forward and trying to do more and trying to take it to the next step. You know, I felt like where I was, I tended to just kind of be satisfied with this is what I'm dealt kind of thing. And what I mean by dealt, where I've let myself be.
Okay.
That's probably said better.
What are you thinking, Jess?
I think we did some things right. We knew where our hearts wanted to be. Our kids definitely knew where we stood. I wish that we had had guidance, you know, or better guidance or did things a little bit differently now. I mean, I think everybody looks back and feels that way to some extent, but we may have been rooted. Our kids may have been rooted, but we weren't rooted together. So
very well said. That was,
it was a, wouldn't say a divided house, but one of the hardest things for me, and I may be stepping out of line, but one of the hardest things for me was, as a mom, I was very protective of my boys, feeling like I had failed them from getting a divorce and stepping into a... So it was very hard for me to... I would read scripture like, my husband needs to come first. You know, I need to put him first. I need to do that. But when it came down to making a decision or having to punish one of the kids or do something, make a decision on listening to my husband or listening to my mom heart, that was a very hard thing for me.
You're bringing up a very complicated idea. Are you... This is what I'm hearing you say, all right? And you all are in the blended situation or the blended family, so you can tell me in those situations what this looks like. I'm hearing you say, we had to determine or figure out how to grapple with this question. Am I a mom first or am I a wife first? Because one has to come before the other, excluding emergency situations, you know, kid
right.
Shoots their finger off or something like that.
And you have to remember that. I'm a mom first, and I was a mom before I was this wife.
So how does that play out?
It's hard.
So what do you think? What do you think?
If I could have applied what I know now, then I would have done things a little bit differently. I kept Kevin and I from our marriage from moving stronger, faster by being the mom. You know, choosing being a mom over being a wife. And what I mean by that is, you know, there's times where I was just mama bear, just protective. And Kevin, as the leader of the house, wanted to make a decision. And I'd be like, I don't like that decision. You know, had I let him lead a little bit more and leaned into him more in the beginning, I think it would have been easier for my boys. But my boys saw me struggling to lean in. And so that made them struggle to lean in.
Did you see that breed? And I don't want to ask a question that puts you in a position to speak negatively of yourself or your children, but did you see that breed any sense of a spirit of defiance against Kevin?
And maybe in some ways, it probably kept my boys from getting closer to Kevin.
Okay.
They have a great relationship. And like I said, in the beginning, we've all been blessed with getting along really, really well. But I think there could have been a better relationship at times. If I had not put up that barrier.
Okay.
And at that time, I'm not seeing that that's my barrier. You know, I honestly, our
You're
kids
just trying
are
to be faithful I'm to trying, where you are, what
I'm,
you have.
I'm trying to be the best that I know to be in the moment. And, you know, now our kids are 26 to 32. So very different. We have 6 grandkids now, or 5 grandkids and one on the way. So we are seeing things at a very different perspective. We are seeing our lives play out through our kids' lives because they're raising children, and we're going, oh, well, let me tell you what you should do because we did this wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very easy to see now. It's not easy to see in the moment. But I mean, this is when we talk about revelations, this is all like in the last year. We've seen a lot of this come to fruition. It's just that, you know, I was from a blended family, so I thought, oh, I know this. I know what to do. I know what I didn't like that my parents did, so I'm going to do it differently. And in essence, I did it differently, but I didn't do it right, you know.
Okay.
So if I had someone sitting in front of me and said, you know, what do? I would say, put your husband first and everything else will fall into place. You know, put your marriage first and everything else will fall into place. Because I think that foundation, what our kids are seeing now, that we have a strong, solid foundation, and everything that we've been through over the last, you know, 15, 16 years together is a much better message than the message that we gave at the moment.
You know, and I want to back up and say this. For anybody else that's listening, that maybe is relating to some of this, you know, looking or going through it at the time, like she was talking about, you know, with them trying to accept the new family position that everybody is in, I understand now more, and I say now, within the last 6 months, I understand more now why they felt the way they did at times.
Mm.
Because she just, like she said it a minute ago, I felt like as a leader of the house, as a stepdad or dad, you know, even with my own kids, there were so many times that you feel like you need to be right for something for their own good, but they didn't see the love in it. All they saw was just somebody maybe trying to control who they were, what mm-hmm. they were, rather than seeing it for the good of what it is. And I wasn't always good at that.
Tell me, let's explore this for just a minute, Kevin. You said in the past months, year or less, that you've really come to a place of having maybe a more robust sympathy or mm-hmm. maybe a more in-touch empathy with what the kids were going through. I think there's a lot of parents out there that would say, man, I want to know what the children of my spouse in a blended family, I want to know what they're going through. Like, I really want for their good. I want for their mm-hmm. well-being. So tell me, if you can, what's the catalyst that brought you in the past year to having this sensitivity, this tenderness and awareness? Talk to them, because maybe, I don't know, maybe what you've gone through is something that these brothers and sisters listening to this podcast can cultivate to get there themselves.
Right, right. You know, as far as a particular thing that's happened, it's really not something particular that's happened, like an instance.
Okay.
As much as looking at, like Jess said earlier, the things that we did, not knowing that it wasn't really the right approach, that didn't work, like being right mm-hmm. versus not loving as much as showing love as much as was being right.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't mean we didn't love them. Didn't mean we didn't want more for them. But yet, as kids, you know, growing up, going through stages, you got to, you know, if I would have thought more about that side of it, making sure that they knew they were loved more than me feeling like they needed to know that this is for their own good and this is for the betterment of them, it would have made a little, would that make sense, Jess?
Well, it goes back to kind of what I was saying with the being the mom protector, you know, like mm-hmm. If I'm being protector, if I'm going, you know, we're going to get through this. Let's just say something happened and we're both sitting down to have a talk with them to discuss punishment or whatever. You know, if I'm being the protector, then I'm trying to love them and protect them. He's trying to show them, lead, guide, and direct them.
You're loving to protecting. He's loving to discipline and direct.
Right. And if we had been on the same page.
Yeah, those are just butting heads.
So the boy, you know, so a lot of time the kids would, I wouldn't even say my boys, I would say it happened in both instances. Mm-hmm. The kids would see, you know, oh, Jess loves us, you know, and dad wants to be right. And in that instance, if we had just both been sitting there, we love you. This is how we feel. This is how we, you know, so we were divided in that instance. I think the kids always saw us love each other. They knew from the very beginning that we had a special love and that they were happy for us to be together. But we were divided when those things happened. We had fun as a family. We have great memories. We have great things that go on, but we were divided in that instance.
Mm.
And it was because one playing protect, and it would be both ways. I mean, I got introduced to having a daughter after being a parent for 15 or 12 years. You know, I didn't know what that was like. I mean, I'm a girl, but I'm...
In your defense, nobody knows what it's like.
So
I think you'll even say that even after having a daughter, it's like...
Wow.
It's every day's a guessing game.
So
who are we getting today?
As much as the boys went through with Kevin, I went through with, you know, with his kids too, just not understanding because he wanted them to be like him. I wanted her to be like me, you know, and it's not. And no matter what decisions we're making or how much we love them, because love has never been a problem for either one of us. Mm-hmm. We both loved each other's children immediately. That was not the problem. And I think the boys or all the kids loved us immediately. Like I said, we all meshed really well. It was never a problem when it came to meshing. We were blessed beyond belief with that. It just came with making some of those big decisions where you really needed to show grace and love and understand their circumstance, not to the point to use it as a crutch, but to give some grace and show more love versus discipline because you've done something that wasn't, you know, that wasn't, yeah. didn't follow yeah. our family's belief.
So I hear you saying that, one, you guys have to, even if you love each other, there's still a necessity for the kids' sake of projecting a unified approach in how you make decisions, how you communicate decisions. So even though you guys were in a loving family, when y'all in your blended family, we're not talking about a catastrophe. We're not talking about anything. It's a good, stable mm-hmm. family. It's simply just blended in nature. Your kids knew they loved you, that you loved them. There was a sense of love, mm-hmm. you know, towards y'all. But one, you've got to be intentional for their sake of projecting a unified front.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they're just dealing with the dilemma of, all right, we've already lived through a confusing season, and now we see that there's love, but it looks like there's something else.
Right.
Well, you're giving confusion when, you know, I'll just use myself as an example. I can remember sitting in times where we were having family discussions, and I 1,000% was behind everything Kevin was saying.
Yeah.
But at the inside my mama bear heart trying to protect my boys, I was thinking, oh gosh, this is not coming off very good. And I need to like have a side conversation with them and make them know that they're loved and this is okay. Those little doubts or side conversations, looking back at them now and looking back at having too many of those gave my kids doubts in what is supposed to be right, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's easy to look back now and see that. It was very hard to see that at the time, because at the time I'm doing what I think is best. But looking back on those now, it's kind of like, okay, you planted seed. They didn't, you know, they weren't the one questioning what was right and what was wrong. I was. And so had we been more grounded in each other and worried about the marriage, we would have been putting on a unified front and showing them what a true marriage was,
yeah.
you know.
And that's the one thing that when we were discussing this a little bit, the one thing you cannot say this, I sounds pretty bold, but a blended family that's going to enter into a blended family, a blended relationship that's going to enter into a blended family, with everything I have in my heart, please be on the same page.
Mm.
Be on the same page. Know that your better half, your other, your fiance, you know, whoever it is, spouse to be on the same page.
And that's not just with discipline. That's with everything. Like we didn't, you don't realize you've been raising your family one way for X number of years. In my case, you know, it had been, my oldest was 13, so 13 years. Kevin's mm-hmm. oldest was 15, you know. So 13 years of family traditions, 13 years of daily traditions, life, you know, just
rhythms.
What rhythms, yes. Kevin had his own, you know, his family had his own rhythms. You're bringing those rhythms together. Even the smallest little thing can throw that off for a child or a teenager, especially whose hormones are different every day. So we move in, I make beds every day. They never, you know, if they didn't make beds and I was saying, you have to make your bed, to an 11-year-old child or a 13-year-old, that's a problem. Because
they've already experienced the traumatic of this person in their space.
Right. I mean, it could be something so small that would set off a train reaction
yeah.
of, you know, not chaos, but just uncomfortableness, which would turn into other things.
Psychologically, we have to remember traumas aren't necessarily bad things. Even good events are traumatic. Mm-hmm. It's when something changes dramatically that creates a trauma. Traumas can be good, traumas can be bad. But we can develop PTSD from good traumas, right? So like making a bed, most people would say that's a good practice. But when it startles the fire out of a kid,
mm-hmm.
they can be like, and they just don't know how to react to it.
Well, like picking your battles, you know, like I would pick that battle, you know, oh, we make our bed every morning, or
yeah.
we do this, or he would say, we do this in my house, you know. So going back to being on the same page, what does that look like? What is expected? And we never discussed those things. We discussed bigger things like, who's
well,
gonna.
I think the big thing was with that is gonna is you know, I loved you. You loved me. You know, we loved each other's kids. We wanted to see that work, but yet we didn't understand the dynamics of what it meant when we actually put it to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
And that part of it was really, really a eye opener once we threw it. And I remember one time, my daughter told me, she goes, Dad, she said, you know, I've had this, you know, this life. And she said, and I love my brothers. And she said, but, you know, all of a sudden in a week, she said, everybody's under one roof.
Yeah.
And she said, it's a big change it was a big change for her. And not that it wasn't for the rest of them.
Yeah.
But that was a conversation that I thought whenever we were going this direction, that she was more aware of than what she was. And it showed me that I wasn't aware of as much as what, you know, I thought it was. And so, and not that, I regretted it or anything of that nature. It was just the fact I wasn't as well prepared, you know, for Jess. And Jess wasn't, you know, as well prepared, you know, with me to be on that page of, you know, we need to make sure that these kids and us as a family are on the same page, that they all know where we are and what we're going to be moving towards.
Yeah.
Rather than just putting together and hoping all the pieces fit.
And then we'll figure it out when we get there.
Yes.
When we were dating, we would get tied up on, like we said, we had a hard time working on blending the family. We were worried more about logistics and, you know, who's going to buy a car, who's going to go to college, who's going to, you know, like all of these things were so overwhelming to us. Like, how do we put our two incomes together and take care of five kids? You know, it was a lot of, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but it wasn't spiritual as much as it was just economics and logistics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We were worried about really that stuff wasn't a problem.
Mm.
What the problem was how are we going to lead our family together?
Mm.
And that took a lot of, I think we did a lot of things right. I think we did whole lot of things wrong.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that was probably the hardest for us that I do feel like was a very good decision is our kids, which they were older, so they weren't young. But we let them, if there was a time where they just didn't feel that they wanted to be in our house, we let them go to the other parent's home. Like it was never this is my day and you're staying with me. That was something that Kevin and I both agreed on, and our kids had the freedom to go back and forth when they wanted. And that was, I think that made a big difference for them, because there were times in their lives where they needed to be with their dad or they needed to be with their mom.
Yeah.
And one was a better fit than the other. And
you know,
so we did that.
You're bringing up something that is in general really important to remember. We're raising children that are people, not possessions.
That's right.
You know, these kids are not possessions that we dictate, we determine, that we develop. They're people that we invest in, that we disciple. Listen, you guys are, I really like talking to y'all. But for the sake of our listeners not listening to us hang out all day, which we can do, let me do this for me. Give me just kind of a off the top of your head. You've already mentioned a lot of things. I hear you saying, take it slow, be unified. It's okay to struggle. Think about the future, not just the present. Give people that are in a blended family. Here's the avatar, if you will. You got a man and a woman. Both have been divorced. They've blended the family. They have a blended family with children, but they've been married for 2 years or less. What are your go-to? Hey, these are some of the things that, looking back, we wished we could have asked someone. If you all, going back to the beginning, the first 2 years, had someone you could talk to and ask a question, what were some of the questions that you would have asked? And give the answer, by the way.
Yeah.
Or at least give the answer a shot.
Yes, yes. I'll let you go on the first one.
Well, definitely would have liked someone to sit down and say, I think marriage marriage number one, marriage counseling number one, would have probably been just the first one. We've already done it wrong once.
Pre-marriage counseling. Yeah. 100%.
If we had done that, I think that would have set the foundation a little bit different.
By the way, call your church office. Ask if you can meet with one of the ministers for your pre-marriage counseling. We do that. We do pre-marriage counseling even after couples are married, just to try to give them a chance to get started again.
And we did a little bit. I think we could. I think with a blended family, though, we could have done a lot more.
I think that's a valid point to make, because also after they're married, I still think it's smart.
Well, we have pre-marriage counseling.
Yes.
We have marriage maintenance counseling, right. And we have crisis marriage counseling. All right. Pre-marriage is, here's some of the basic building blocks and tools to use to have a thriving marriage. Marriage maintenance counseling is like getting your oil changed. We're not doing it because our car's broke. We're doing it so our car doesn't get broke.
That is awesome.
And then we offer, obviously, crisis counseling. Hey, the house is on fire. Help us put it out.
Yeah.
Right. So there's the three modes of counseling for a marriage couple.
Yeah. And I wasn't aware of the marriage maintenance.
Yeah.
That's huge in my opinion.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that marriage maintenance, and this is where I've been, you know, with us here lately. You know, and honestly, if you take your marriage the same way that you do with your kids,
mm-hmm.
it's gonna follow suit.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like, you know, you give grace where grace is needed. You give love where love is needed. You give, you know, you put things in place where, and all of those are attributes of what you're going to need to be doing with your spouse too.
Yeah.
And those are things that, you know, when you get frustrated because one may be parenting different than the other, if you go back to some of these attributes that, you know, that God has commanded us, you know, what's Colossians 3, you know,
bear with one another
and doing these things, it will follow suit in both parts of your world.
Yeah.
Parenting and being spouses.
Yeah. They're transferable. The principles you apply in your marriage, loving, honoring, respecting, should be applied within the family. But, you know, some of what our kids turn out as is not taught behavior, it's learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
They learn by watching what you do together. And if you're neglecting your marriage, don't be surprised when they grow up to neglect their marriages.
You know, Jess and I have not. Like I said, we're first ones to say we're far from figuring things out. We feel like, but we've seen a lot.
Yeah,
and we've been through so much that I'm not saying we've been through more than the next person.
Yeah,
but I'm saying that what we know now is a whole lot more valuable that we wish we would have known in the beginning, because it would have really taken care of so many things, and that being unified together.
Mm-hmm.
On the same page, none of us on the fence, because, you know, Jess has talked about being on the fence and trying to be a mother and a she can't take all that. I mean, I should have been one helping her with that, but it was a hard situation. You know, I was being a dad and trying to set the fence too.
Yeah.
So it was both of us doing that. And looking back now, if I would have taken that step, it would have changed our marriage in the beginning. It would have changed our marriage moving forward. It would have changed the kids' outlook on things, going from phase to phase to phase, you know, from being teenagers to getting out of school and thinking they're adults before they are, you know, that kind of thing. And now they are grown adults, and now they are all doing well, and we're so excited because we're happy where they, you know, where they're going. And we're very thankful that the things you said earlier, Jess, was we did a lot of things right, and we feel like that is, well, some of that, you know, is some of the rewards from it, is watching them flourish in those areas. So
we have 5 great kids.
Yes.
And
they made it through our chaos.
Yeah.
One thing that I would say before we get off, I don't know if we're wrapping up, but, you know, Kevin and I say this every day driving down our driveway, and it gets so much better.
Mm.
If you're struggling, it gets so much better. I mean, it's hard. It's worth it. Fight through it. Our 5 kids are super close. Their spouses, I mean, it is so cool. We have a family chat, and to send out a family chat on Monday morning, hey, we're having dinner at the house Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, and all the corresponding texts, can't wait, I'm hungry, mm-hmm. blah, 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 what's for dinner? And then everybody to sit at the table together and have dinner and, you know, and the grandkids just love being around each other. I mean, it's what we wanted all along. We don't know how we got here, but we're glad we did.
Yeah.
And, you know, we take each day and just think, well, if we didn't do things right for the first one, we can at least show our grandkids what a loving marriage looks like and give them the example that we wanted to try to give the kids if we didn't do it right with them.
That is a good way to close out this conversation. So hear this again. It's okay to struggle. Struggling doesn't mean you failed. Struggling means you're trying. When you're not struggling, you're not trying. So don't worry about the struggle, folks. Lean into your marriage. Trust the Lord. Honor the Lord. Spend time with each other. Man, be thoughtful. Be good communicators to the family. Invest in them. And, you know, the hard days will, the hard days will one day be looked back on as the good old days. But you got to press on to get to that point. So, hey, I want to thank Kevin and Jess for joining me today. You guys have played a very important role in forming the culture of Lone Oak, because we're not only talking about being godly people in godly homes, but we're giving consideration to a reality that exists in our church, and that is that we have blended families, some that are rocking it, some that are being rocked by it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you guys putting yourselves out, having this conversation with me, allowing us to record it, talking transparently, but also very thoughtfully. The church is better for y'all's service today. So I want to thank you guys for being here.
Thank you for letting us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you for tuning in to this bonus episode of Shaped by Scripture. We're talking about parenting in the household this week as we've been thinking on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. It is good to know the Lord's word, and it is beautiful to see how He is shaping lives, shaping hearts. Again, my name is Scott Thomas. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Shaped by Scripture, and may God continue to shape you by His word.